Hello, everybody, and welcome to Actually Comics. I'm Tristan.
I'm Bob.
And this is for Tuesday, December 4th, but these are the comics for Wednesday, December 5th. And
That's
we're going to...
confusing.
Oh, God, I know. I'm sorry, everybody. Anyway, so we got so much crap to go through. There's so many books this week.
Yeah.
And Bob didn't read anything because he was busy getting drunk at his wife's Christmas party.
That's right. That's right. That's what happened. And of course, the one time that that happens, there's more comics than ever.
There's the most comics that have
it's
ever
the record.
Been out.
You have to come celebrate at the store for the record breaking. There's no more. This is the most amount of comics ever have to come out on a Wednesday.
So much. So we'll talk about Winter Soldier, number one.
This is the one I read the least. Of all of the comics that I barely read, this one I read the least.
Well, it's good. It reminds me of the old series. It has that same style of artwork. I think Kyle Baker worked on that one too, right?
Kyle Higgins?
I'm sorry, Kyle Higgins.
Yes. It's possible. I don't remember. This is Kyle Higgins and Rod Reiss. Rod Reiss, who I remember recently as the fill-in artist on Exiles, and he did the Black Panther, Django kind of like Wild West issues that were really
awesome.
Good. And his art style is awesome, and this looks really great. And I'm sorry I didn't notice it until the end, and I didn't pick it up to look at it, because this looks awesome. Yeah.
Cool.
Looks cool.
Yeah, and there, as far as other Marvel number ones, we have Killmonger number one, a spinoff out of, looks like pretty much right out of the movie. The character design is dead on to the movie, looks like the actor. I enjoyed it. I thought
bumps.
It was, you know, it's pretty good. It's, you know, it's going to be for the people who are coming into comics out of the movies. It's that thing that everyone's always surprised that Marvel doesn't do. They now seem to be doing it. So
nice. Yeah, this does look really cool. Also, I've learned that kicking someone in the head makes the sound trock.
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 See?
Oh, man, the Kingpin's in this. Cool.
Can we trock? What's up, Doc?
What's up, trock?
Yeah, so Snot Girl, number 12, is out.
I just grabbed that because we never talk about it.
Yeah.
It's called Snot Girl. It's by Brian Lee O'Malley and Leslie Hung. And
it's
I never
one of those
read
books
it.
That I don't talk about because it sells so well.
Like, nice.
It's like Paper Girls. Like, it sells consistently. Ooh. Everybody who wants it already has it. You know what you're in for. You're like, if you're looking for a Brian Lee O'Malley book, that's it.
So what we should say is that Snot Girl number 12 is out in stores tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. It's very much, it's what he does.
Nice.
And actually, I should give more credit to the artist because the artist is kind of like the...
Leslie Hung.
Yes, Leslie Hung is kind of like the big deal on this book for me.
Yeah, the art is really cool. It
Her
looks
art
like
is
a cool
great.
Book.
Yeah, it's great.
But I've heard good things about it, but I haven't... I'm going to talk about this one. Okay, Sight Unseen, this looks awesome. I don't know what it's about. It's called Wizard Beach. Wizard Beach number one from Boom Studios by Sean Simon and Connor Nolan. This is... I didn't read... But, man, I can't wait to read it. It looks really cool. It's got this kind of, well, I mean, it's called Wizard Beach, and it involves wizards and beaches. There's some really, it just looks really cool. Boom Studios, like, they do good stuff. This looks really fun and cool and interesting. Let's see. I'll just read the copy for it, which says Sandwiches, which is WITCHES, by the sea, Wizard Beach number one. When the wizard sets off to find his uncle, he expects to find the most powerful wizard in modern age. Instead, he finds Uncle Sally. I don't know what's going on, but it looks really cool.
All right. Martian Manhunter, new number one.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, this was a surprise for me, too. Man, I was very, very happy with this. I was actually expecting it to kind of be a bit of a letdown because I loved that last series so much that I even named my cat after Mr. Biscuits. but this one is great. It's way more avant and interesting. It's got a lot more risk taking than I would have expected for a mainstream superhero book. Just really cool. Like the two different art styles that it bounces back and forth between are wonderful.
Yeah.
Both very like 90s alternative kind of art styles.
I think this has a very Resident Alien kind of feel to it.
It does, except through the lens of Chew, sort of. Like it's like as if like Layman did Resident Alien.
Steve Orlando is the writer, and I really like him. The artist obviously is Riley Rossmo. When I say obviously, it's obvious that he's awesome, and I have been looking forward to this book simply because he's the artist on it. I also think, like Orlando.
I think this is a huge leap forward for his art style.
Yeah, it's personally. Cool. I love his partner's hair. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. His detective partner has the craziest hair, but it starts out kind of like a procedural. He's Detective John Jones, and then you get some Martian Manhunter type Mars type stuff, and then it kind of sets up the dynamic between him and his partner. I think this is a great first issue. I spent more time with this than most anything else that came out, and it looks great.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a bunch of X stuff out this week as well.
So much, and there's one really good one.
There's three X books out this week. There's X-Men: The Exterminated, which is just a tie-in to the Extermination series, just basically like sort of a funeral for Cable kind of story.
Except for clearly it was supposed to come out after the miniseries was over, which hasn't ended yet. So it's like you don't know how it ended, but like, I don't know. I wouldn't read this until after you've read the last issue of Extermination.
Fair enough. This is, so you get that, and it's like, whatever. You know, we know Cable dies, so.
Yeah, can we talk about the other whatever one before we talk about the good one? Then there's also the Merry X-Men Holiday Special, which is literally every single page of this has a different artist on it, and it was really distracting and hard to read.
I didn't read it, but I kind of want to because I love the idea of an X-Men Christmas special.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first, nor will it be the last.
Nope.
It's got and X in the title.
Let's talk about Uncanny X-Men number 4 starring Sexy Jesus.
Yeah, I dug this.
Yeah, so X-Man is back.
Yep.
And he looks like Sexy Jesus now.
He's pulling a full Jesus. He's like going full Jesus on this one.
He's got the Four Horsemen. He has Apocalypse tied up to a stick.
Yeah, and the Four Horsemen are Blob, Magneto, Omega Red, and Angel, but they're the Four Horsemen of non-Apocalypse or whatever the opposite of Apocalypse.
He still does want to create an Apocalypse though.
He does? I think there's definitely some of this, but it looks really cool, and also it sets up the whole thing of like why Legion is like against him, in that Legion is responsible for his entire existence, which I thought was interesting.
Yes.
Continually with this run of X-Men, and admittedly, I didn't spend an in-depth amount of time with it, but there's these little ideas that kind of come through in a way that like 52 did with the writers kind of round table, where it's different from 52 in that like each writer isn't telling like a separate story, but it's like you have these kind of cool little notion ideas. Like, of course Legion would be, I'm responsible for this guy. Like, you would never even, like, it wouldn't be something that like I would have readily thought of. And I
honestly,
thought it was cool.
I consider myself to have read a lot of friggin' X-Men books in my life. I didn't know that.
Yeah, because he started the Age of Apocalypse.
How did he start the Age of Apocalypse?
Because he killed Professor Xavier that started the Age of Apocalypse.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's what
I think
it was.
You're right. Yeah,
I'm rusty. But
yeah,
there was
some sort of crazy thing that happened. Yeah.
And that was the catalyst,
this.
And then that was that created the like the whole thing where there was a world with no Professor X, and without Professor X, it was the world of Apocalypse. But either way, number four.
And that's why they. Okay, now I understand why they killed off Sugar Man and they killed off Dark Beast.
Yeah, they're getting rid of that Age of Apocalypse.
Oh,
they're not feeling so good about it.
Right, I get it. Okay, I'm back on.
back
on the right page.
But that's exactly my point. It's like those little things that it's like, okay, like those are cool little like writerly kind of neat nitro burning funny turns.
Yeah,
as The Simpsons might have said one time in 20 years ago.
No, it's super fun. Speaking of super fun, Venom number 9.
Yeah, it has a dog. A Venom
continues
dog.
To be cool. There's a Venom dog. That's
I mean,
fun.
That's what's on the cover. I actually don't know if that's what's inside the comic itself.
Yep.
It looks cool, though.
Umbrella Academy.
Umbrella Academy also looks cool. Didn't read, but is a favorite series of mine. I love it, so I'm definitely excited for it.
Shazam number 1.
Yeah.
Something I was very excited about.
I'm excited to Geoff Johns writing more comics.
Yeah, me too. This book is great. This gives me a lot of hope for the new direction of DC.
Yeah.
Like, it really, it's just fun superhero crap. Like, it's not too, nothing's heavy-handed. It's just fun.
Yeah, this is like the Flashpoint-ish kind of Shazam take where there's five different Shazams. I didn't really, like, again, I didn't spend, you spent a lot more time with it, so I shouldn't really, like, talk a lot, but the art is really good, and there's a backup story with Mary Marvel that looks really cool. And
the backup is wonderful, and it's sort of
Hoppy the Marvel Bunny.
It does. It's the Mary story, but it's done in sort of a in the Marvel equivalent would be like a Squirrel Girl or a Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur or a Miss Marvel. Like, it's in that kind of like very soft style that they do for sort of YA kind of things. Hmm. And it's fun and it's cute and it's awesome. And God, I hope that DC has learned a lesson that not everybody wants dark and morbid all the time.
I'm unconvinced that they have completely learned this lesson, but there is some kind of faction within DC that seems to have figured it out.
Yeah.
I actually would rather read a Mary Marvel comic than a Shazam comic, but at the same time, this looks really great. And it's on the pull list for me.
I actually just heard someone from DC having kind of an argument on Twitter. I kind of like breezed through it, and they were having a Superman argument where they were basically calling out people who had written Superman as violent and, you know, and kind of dark as being kind of cowardly because they're afraid of being made fun of for making a wholesome book because it's too, you know, it's easy to make fun of something that's sincere. And I think that's really, it is kind of a weakness.
I agree. And I also agree that you can't, or I disagree that you have to make Superman dark in order to be taken seriously. And I would
here is a great example.
I would cite several examples of recent memory, which is kind of nice to have them. Number one, last week was Action Comics. Still, man, that was such a good, the Bendis take on Superman is amazing. It's exactly tone perfect, and also tone perfect was, surprisingly enough, Doomsday Clock number 8, which is out tomorrow.
I would easily say this might be my favorite Superman comic of the last 5 years.
It's not my, I wouldn't put it on that level, but I would say this is the issue of Doomsday Clock that I've been waiting to happen.
Also that.
Like, it's like there's, okay, you're getting like the forward, like, the story is actually starting to kind of like heat up, and there's some really interesting like kind of like international intrigue with not only a Firestorm in Russia and an international incident, but there's also shit with Kandak and Black Adam and like what's going on in Kandak. It was the first like really like smoothly readable issue of Doomsday Clock for me, and I dug it. And I also just thought like, this is A, what's good about Superman, but also like how that could be used as a weapon against him. It's pretty smart.
It's very smart, and it's, yeah, for me this could have easily slipped into Grant Morrison's 52. Like, this could have been...
Oh, I love the Grant Morrison 52.
Like, I feel like this issue could have been, like, in the middle of it somewhere. It felt... The version of Black Adam felt like his characterization of Black Adam. Like, it was these very strong representations of all the characters in a way that I felt were just perfect.
Yeah. The only thing that I would... nitpick with that is that the Black Adam from 52 wasn't the Grant Morrison didn't write it, even though he was one of the writers. He did the Adam Strange, Starfire.
Really? Who was on the Black Adam poking people's eyes out of their heads?
I think it might have been Greg Rucka. I'm not sure it was Greg Rucka, Mark Waid, Grant Morrison, and another person. But I know that Grant Morrison did like the guys lost in space. It was like, what was it, like a booster? Is it Booster Gold? It was Starfire, and I don't know. I should revisit.
Oh wow! Then 52. He did literally the thing stuff that I liked the least.
Oh,
out
that
of
was
52.
My favorite part of 52. Really? I loved his deal in 52.
The Shazam stuff was my favorite.
Yeah, that stuff was cool too. But that was the cool thing about 52.
It was the first time I ever gave even the slightest care for Shazam.
Oh yeah. It was the point where Black Adam became a more interesting character than Shazam for sure. And also like we were talking about with X-Men, where that's more of like four people telling one story. 52 was like four people telling four stories, but at the same time.
Yes.
So it was like very different, two very different types of writer, what would you call it? Like writer's room or whatever. But but still, yeah, no, I don't know. The Kendak was cool. Doomsday Clock is what we're talking about. And Gary Frank on art, good stuff.
Yep.
Doomsday Clock heating up.
So great.
Heating up. And probably the best Firestorm comic I've read in like forever.
Woo, so good.
Which is nice.
Yeah, it is really good. It's nice to see Firestorm given some sort of, I don't know. He's
conflict.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And to bring it down a little bit, Shatterstar.
I didn't read it.
Again, I don't know if this is a bad comic or if I have such high hopes for where they were going with it. I had such a specific expectation. I was like, I thought it was going to go like street level with little funny, crazy out there characters living in an apartment building. And then it just went straight to Mojo World. And it's now it's all this just crap and like 90s fighting stuff. It's not my thing. I'm sure if I gave it a fair shake, it might be readable. But it's just like it's so I thought that this was going to be like a crazy space version of Matt Fraction's Hawkeye run. And then it turned out to be exactly the opposite.
Shatterstar is the guy who has, oh, there's a pug on the cover. That's interesting. He has the swords that are like molecule thin and therefore can cut through anything. Is that right?
Correct.
That's Shatterstar's
deal.
And
for some reason, there's two of them.
Yeah. And for some reason, he never chops anything in half for having these magic swords that chop through everything.
I think that he's probably more refined than that. He doesn't. Mm-hmm.
He should make ice sculptures.
He should. Okay, let's talk about something I really loved this week.
Yeah, you gotta field this one. I didn't notice it.
This is maybe my pick of the week. Okay. I don't know. It's up there. This is definitely something that I was more than shocked by. It is Die, the book by Kieran Gillen, and art by somebody who I don't know.
Hmm. I bet it says somewhere in there.
I bet it does somewhere. I bet if I looked hard enough and wasted time, I could probably find it.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, here, you do that. So it's basically, it starts off and it's a very mysterious book. It doesn't really tell you a whole lot. I don't want to spoil very much because it does go in a cool direction. But it's going to be sort of that John Carter kind of story. You got a bunch of people who are going on a D&D mission in a real D&D world. Yeah. You know, it goes there. But it is, but there's a mystery within it. They grow older and you don't know where they went. They're not allowed to talk about it. Some crazy shit went down. It is just a very, very well-written book. It's like if somebody tried to do like a Dark Knight Returns for the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon from the 80s.
Huh.
It's like that.
That's
it's
a
like
good capsule.
That it's awesome. I really dug it.
Nice. The artist is Stephanie Hans.
Oh, is that
and that is? The designer of the overall package is Ryan Hughes, which will say something to fans of Invisibles.
Yes.
And Wednesday Comics.
Oh yeah.
Probably a billion other books and things that are cool.
So did you read this?
What is it?
This is Self-Made.
No, I didn't. You could pretty much ask me if I read most of what we're
fair
talking about this
okay
week.
So here's an unfortunate one that I missed.
I flipped through it and it didn't grab me.
This is one that the art looks very interesting. It looks kind of east of westy, kind of black sciencey, but I didn't read it. I wish I had, because it definitely looks like it has some interesting stuff in it. I'm sorry to give that one short shrift, but it is from Image. And if
the writer is named Groom.
Well, there you go.
It's written by
a barbarian.
It's literally written by a 1960s Marvel monster. Groom. I am Groom. Artist Eduardo Ferrigato.
Eduardo Farigato.
Mr. Roboto.
Sorry. Let's talk about the new Mark Millar book.
Let's talk about the new Mark Millar TV series.
That even if I had showed up on time, I still wouldn't have read. But no offense to anyone who likes Mark Millar. I just hate him.
You see, it's funny. I generally like his books when I read them. There have been a few. Definitely as of late, he has had a few things that feel... Maybe it's just because I know now that now I'm well aware that all he's doing is IP farming for television shows. Yeah. And these are just like, hey, I got a pitch. Let me tell you a couple of things. And then we make a comic about it. And then I make $1 billion.
Yeah.
But this one, it's cool. It's basically, you know, how he just kind of steals a character and then makes him a little more realistic.
Yeah.
This is so he had kind of stolen Mr. Terrific for this one.
Okay.
There you go.
My thing with Mark Millar is I'd just rather read the final product, which is the film. I just watched Kingsman, The Secret Service.
Yeah.
Not a terrible movie. Total popcorn, just like whatever. But it's like, I don't want to read the comic. Just give me the film.
I know.
That's all I want.
I know. I feel like I
even want that.
I feel like I'm being used sometimes by him.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
It comes
you're
to
just.
That.
It's like here's an IP farm. I mean, I'm psyched for Raphael Albuquerque that he's the artist on this. Yeah. I'm always psyched for the artist because he picks like really awesome artists
he
to
does.
Work with him. But it's just like
he,
every time
he
does,
pays
one,
them fairly.
Of course,
like,
he does.
And
he probably
cuts
pays
them in and
better
he,
than they'd get paid otherwise. But
and,
like,
and also he sets money aside to pay them on time when the books run late or when something goes weird. He's very good about what he does.
Didn't he also buy like an entire like city block in like Glasgow so he could like poor people could live and stuff? Like, I mean, he's
probably
not a bad
guy,
but
he seems like a really good dude.
Yeah, yeah. He's not doing terrible things with his money, and you should support Mark Millar.
From talking to Sean, it just seems like he's kind of an awesome person. So
yeah. So he's probably great.
So that said, this book. It is, again, it's just sort of like MPH is your, like, real-world Flash. Prodigy is your real-world Mr. Terrific. It's, you know, he's just very good at everything.
Cool.
And it's good. Like, everything else he does, it's never bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, Millar, say what you want. It's never bad.
I feel like it's, like, typically, like, the writing of it is, like, just kind of, like, it's never anything... that I haven't seen before. I mean, I don't, whatever. Like, me talking about why I don't like it is totally stupid and a waste of time. I don't want to do that. I just, it's out. It looks cool. Raphael Albuquerque is drawing it. That guy's awesome. Give him money. 100%.
And speaking of confusing things that I don't know what to think about.
Oh, we should probably get the other one.
So Marvel made an interesting marketing choice this week where they basically had pitched me as the retailer and said, hey guys, we're doing a Defenders thing. And I was like, cool, people will think of the Defenders and, you know, you get little one-shots with each character of the Defenders. And then they kind of forgot to put the name Defenders on the books.
Yeah.
I
wonder
if
they were
the best defense.
I wonder if they're trading on the fact that like people who have read comics for a long time will recognize the font and realize it's a Defenders book because they don't want to call it a Defenders book because the Defenders are the Netflix Defenders, which is
that may absolutely be the case.
That would be my bet.
I would not be surprised by that. So
should have told you as a retailer.
Yeah.
It's kind of like on them.
So what we got this week is we got the one shots for Immortal Hulk and Namor. The Best Defense series is about they find the corpse of Doctor Strange someplace, and they're like, "Wow, what's the deal?" And so every one of the Defenders gets together and they go do something. This Namor book was weird. I didn't hate it, and I hate 99.9% of Namor books. Mm. Immortal Hulk was not as good as regular Immortal Hulk, but it also had a lot of really good stuff in it.
Hmm.
Just to say that, like, if you're reading the Immortal Hulk and you're expecting that you're getting an extra issue of Immortal Hulk, they're just using the Hulk and they're saying, hey, that's what he's called now. That's what the status quo is for his book, is that he's this horrific monster version of himself, and we're just going to bring that into this Defender story. But there's some very cool moments in it.
I will say about the Hulk one is that Al Ewing, who is the writer of Immortal Hulk, is the writer of this issue of Hulk, and there's this really cool kind of narrative thing where there are interspersed Jack Kirby Hulk panels all throughout it.
That's really awesome.
And I think narratively it looks like it could be, the art is actually really good in this. When the Hulk finally appears, it's like a holy shit. Pretty cool. I don't know. This looks really great. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the Namor or the Hulk one.
It is. It's just, again, it's not part of this ongoing series.
Yes.
They're literally just like, let's just imagine that he got pulled out of this storyline for 25 seconds to do this book.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
He joined a revamped Defenders lineup.
Yep.
That's it. But yeah, I'm not sure what's exactly happening with Namor because of Avengers. But.
Yeah, Namor is super weird.
Also, he's wearing his old costume on the cover, but not on the inside.
Yeah, he's wearing his new sexy costume.
Yeah, his new sexy bondage costume.
What's this one that you're looking at? Justice League is out.
Yeah, you can like basically, if you want to know what's going on with Justice League, just read the last page of this and then move on. Cause
yeah, it feels like they were just basically killing time to explain.
I hate
because there's a one shot coming out for something.
I don't know. I hate this is a Legion of Doom focused issue. Again, like you could skip the whole issue and just read the last page, but man, there's no excuse for this version of Justice League to not be good, and unfortunately, it's just really not awesome. Speaking of what is awesome, because let's keep the hype train rolling.
If you want to keep the hype train rolling,
let's do it. We got some books lined up in the pipeline. Don't go away,
guys. Read Immortal Hulk. Mm. Holy crap.
So fucking good.
This book is so amazing. You thought the ending of the last issue was insane. That fight keeps going.
This issue, I will say, there are every once in a while, like I think that fans of Hulk will actually like react violently against this.
You think
book.
So?
I do. I think that this is the kind of a thing where it's like you're positing a seismic change to the lore of the Hulk.
Be a euphemism.
It could be. What I'm saying is like I'm not saying I agree with that. I think this comic is awesome. I love it in the same way that I love Frankencastle. I love this take on the Gamma Bomb and what it means, but unfortunately, in the long term, I think there will be like a blowback from this, and I think that a lot of it'll just be a really awesome Hulk run that people who understand what awesome comics are will have to hold, like the Jason Aaron run on Ghost Rider,
or oh my God,
Frankencastle, or like these like moments that are like never gonna be long term impact on the franchise. You'll have this. So
this
like,
wonderful thing.
Get back to number one if you haven't read Immortal Hulk. Read the whole thing. Get the whole thing.
We
get
do
the
have.
Trades,
we do have the
do
trade.
Whatever
for
it
the
is.
First.
Yeah, just get them. Yep. Read them. It's awesome. This issue is no change. It's awesome.
And speaking of other awesome things.
Oh my God, I loved this.
Green Lantern number two. Grant Morrison.
Loved it. Loved it.
Spider Hippies.
Loved it. There's a Green Lantern who is a walking volcano man. That means he's a man-shaped body with a volcano for a face. And he says, pardon me for interrupting, things like that. My favorite Green Lantern is Tomar Rhee, and he's created a new Green Lantern from that race who is just like a badass space cop lady who is awesome. Evil Star is a huge part of this, which if you've read old like Silver Age Green Lanterns, like you're like, holy shit. Also, there are aliens who are of the same race as Kanjar Roe. This is just space, DC space, awesome.
It really is.
Boom. And like everything that's awesome and totally unused about space and DC. It's not like with the past Green Lantern shit where it's like there's blue and there's indigo and there's orange and like not shitting on that, but like it's all like making new stuff up. This is like going back to published history of DC, but like also making brand new, completely new takes on things where it's like, but they're familiar.
Yeah.
Like I recognize Kanjar Roe from the first Justice League comics. Like I recognize like the concept of like weird algorithmic Green Lanterns from like the old Alan Moore stuff. Like it's, but everything is fresh. Everything is new, but it's like familiar at the same time, and it's also just a police procedural in space So on its surface, it's like this really cool thing. And again, like I didn't like reread every word of it because I didn't have time, but I'm 100% on board with everything from like the cover treatment and the design of Green Lantern under Grant Morrison. Like, it's great. I just more of
it's the best.
More of Bendis Superman. More of you know, the Shazam. More
DC
of that.
Is
less of
pulling themselves 100
issue
right
Batman
now.
Arcs. Less of like Nightwing shot in the head. Less of that. Like if it sells, it doesn't matter. Like make something cool that still sells.
Yeah.
Like that's your challenge, not mine.
Yeah, it's great. Green Lantern, read it. It's wonderful.
Or I should say it's not my challenge to buy things that I, you know, are mediocre, you know, like to find what's good about them.
Yes. Well, let's talk about Crowded.
Yeah.
This is a great book.
Still kicking ass.
Continues to be just a wonderful, wonderful book. It is jam-packed with content. It's one of the most, like...
dense.
One of the most dense comics that comes out. It's just still super fun. I don't know what else to say about it. It's still the continuing story of someone who's being chased by an app that allows people to pay for your murder, a Tinder style app.
This is
going to
be a
payment.
Fantastic TV show.
That's the other thing. I hate when things are like that, but this is also in and of itself a great comic.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is like it is a great comic. I want it to be a kick-ass TV show. It's not like I think it's only designed to be that. It's like I want them. It's like where Deadly Class will be like it's a great comic that will be a great TV show, like, you know, whatever. And there's like three True Believers Fantastic Four Jack Kirby comics that you can get for a dollar that are awesome.
Yes, there's the thinker.
My God, we are
thinker.
Still going. You know, we haven't even gotten to the best shit. I mean, we did kind of cover some of the best shit, but I want to talk about BPRD, The Devil You Know, number 11. It's a new arc, Mignola cover. This is the end of BPRD. A huge character return in this one, but also Hellboy's back. Abe Sapien's back. Liz Sherman is back. These are the characters I want to read about. They are 100% active, and I'm 100% down with BPRD and have been for a bunch of issues. If you're a lapsed Hellboy reader, you've got a new movie coming out in a few months.
Yeah,
like,
this is the time to be reading BPRD.
Get back in it. They know, and they figured out what they were doing wrong, and they fixed it.
And we have all the trades of everything. You can catch up to what you need. Yeah. And if you're a way back lapsed Hellboy reader, they've come out with all of these gigantic omnibuses for like both Hellboy and BPRD.
Yeah.
So you can go through all of Hell on Earth in three gigantic phone books.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
There's so much good stuff. You should really be reading it.
Yeah. And there's also, like, you know, just if you are Hellboy curious, you know, there's so many different miniseries that, like, there's a million things that you could get that I know you have as trades that, like, you know, you don't even have to worry about the continuity of
so
it.
So much
you know?
Good stuff.
The nice thing about BPRD is if you've been following Hellboy from the beginning, like me, like, this is, like, the wrap of continuity. And it's cool because when it's done, you'll get a definitive conclusion, which you know from Mignola and interviews or whatever that he's been building towards the whole time. Like, you're getting towards that point, so it's like really kind of exciting, but then at the same time you're also just I'm not even really sure. All I know is that this is a comic book that has Hellboy, Abe, and Liz, and they are fighting a guy. I shouldn't even have said a guy.
No,
they're fighting someone.
Yes.
And it's what you want. It's what you want.
They're fighting the person that you've been basically waiting for them to fight.
Yeah,
so
it's the one you want.
It's what you want. It's what you've been waiting for a while.
Man.
You've been reading this.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are great.
So, my favorite new series of the last bunch of months, I really love Border Town. Number 4 is out. I didn't read it because it's on my top, like, I love this book the most. So I didn't, like, look at it, but I guarantee you it's friggin' awesome. That's Eric Esquivel, Ramon Villalobos, and Tamara Bonvillain.
Yes, Batman.
Batman, number 60 in a 105 issue arc, is out, and it has a weird alternating art thing where I don't know who. This is out of nowhere for me, but the artist Fornes. Who is it? Michael Janine is the one of the artists, and then there's a second artist who is named. I'm gonna find this, and I'm sorry to waste time looking for the artist name. Jorge Fornes. This guy, or this, just I cannot wait for more comics from this person.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Fantastic.
Get him on Daredevil tomorrow.
Friggin' anything. Like, literally, like, you could put him on any superhero book, and the color artist, Jordi Belair, would be a great, like, it's a great team.
Yeah.
Put them together.
I mean, honestly, just only put him on Batman,
I mean, yes. If there was a new, like, if I could just, like, go segue immediately into a new Batman writer, artist, with that guy as the artist, I'd be on it in a second. It's exactly, it's like David Mazzucchelli.
Yeah.
Very cool, like Batman Year One style, like just awesome looking Batman art.
I would
really
say,
good. And I've never seen that person before again.
In my ideal world, I would take that guy and I would throw him on a Gotham by Gaslight title.
Sure.
It would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I've been reading, and I hate to, like, I'm not plugging it or whatever, but like the Bendis Batman storyline that's going on in the Walmart comics is with Nick Darrington on art is amazing. Like, this guy with Bendis sold, like, in a hot second. I would be like, yes, like, boom. I don't care about a lot of stuff, but like, that would be great. We are going to talk about, really quickly, I wanted to mention Breakneck number one from Hard Case Crime. This is Titan Comics. It is a crime thriller by Dwayne Swierczynski with a lot of artists, Simone Guglielmini and Raphael Seminara.
I have a feeling that's not right.
I don't care if it's right. It's probably not right. I'm sorry to the person, but I'm plugging your comic, which is part one of a to-be-continued Hard Case Crime thriller. This is a straight-ahead detective fiction. Swierczynski is awesome. If you're into crime comics, I would highly recommend.
Yeah, if you enjoy the hard-boiled crime stuff, anything that Hard Case is putting out for comics has been just phenomenal.
Yeah.
There were a few things that I didn't particularly care for, but man, apparently there were people who loved those things that I hated. So, like, it is. This company is just nailing down its audience. So if that is you, just get everything that they put out.
Yeah, this is kind of like, feels like a, like, kind of Mickey Spillane.
Yeah,
kinda,
they all just do. They're like,
like badass, like 60s, like detective fiction, cool stuff. It looks great. I didn't, like I said, I didn't read it. I'll probably say that again before we are done with the last four books we're going to talk about. Doctor Strange fights a really weird looking thing in Doctor Strange number 9 by Mark Waid and Jesus Saiz. I don't like Doctor Strange's new costume very much. However, the art is really cool, and the new villain is weird AF. Weird AF. Marvel Knights number 3 from Donnie Cates and apparently a second writer, Teeny Howard. So we have like two writers,
Cool.
And anyway, is continuing the Marvel Knights storyline that's been going on for a couple issues. And opens up the door for another player to come in at the end. I actually really like the art on this. I think it's a different artist than's been on it before. It's cool. Dug it. And last but not least,
I think Teeny Howard. Who is she?
I don't know who. You're Googling it.
I am. Okay, she is who I thought she is.
Siri, who is Teeny Howard?
She did get drunk at my store once. Okay, good. Okay, good. Yes.
That's awesome.
I
got drunk
her.
In your house.
Yeah, see? Perfect. Currently, and then recorded a podcast at the same time.
I've been drinking the whole time because I didn't want to lose my buzz and get to be a downer. That's the sacrifice I make for the listeners. Last but not least, let's talk about West Coast Avengers number 5. I love West Coast Avengers. I'm sorry, I got really excited there for a second. Kelly Thompson. We have a different artist on this one, Danielle DiNicuolo and Triona Farrell. I assume that's the color artist. This issue looks great. I didn't read it because this is a sight unseen. I will just get it. It is awesome. West Coast Avengers is awesome.
It is.
Great comic.
I agree with you.
Great comic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much it. There's a bunch of other stuff. There's a ton of trades out. There's a ton of other stuff. It was a huge week. You got to get in.
It was insane.
So thanks everybody. Make sure you if you want to see all of the books, all of the photos are up on I'm Actually Comics on Instagram. I'll be doing a story for all of those.
Mm-hmm.
And you can follow us at Coast City Comics or at Funbox Monster Emporium. And we'll be doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, and there will be lots of continued posts on the... and pretty soon I'm going to make a stronger effort to tag the various creators and whatnot. But definitely follow I'm Actually Comics at Instagram.
Do that.
At Actually Comics.
And this week on the Funbox Monster Podcast, ooh, we're going to be doing Elves, one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Oh my God.
Starring Dan Haggerty of Gentle Ben fame and a big rubber elf puppet.
Wait, no, Dan Haggerty is Grizzly Adams.
Grizzly Adams, I'm sorry. Grizzly Adams.
Man.
Yes, that's Grizzly so Adams. Cool. He plays Santa Claus or a mall Santa, and he gets super drunk and smokes lots of cigarettes.
What?
And there's there's a big rubber elf puppet.
No, wait, does he kill elves?
He protects people from this one rubber elf that runs around the shopping mall.
Okay. Wait, it's called Elves, though.
It is, but they only had the money for one big rubber elf puppet, so it's...
Why didn't they just call it Elf?
Because it sounds weird. You know, when hell is full, the elves will roam the earth, as the tagline says.
They should have called it Elvis.
With an Elvis elf.
Elvis elf.
Elf,
I don't know.
Elfis.
Either way,
I would imagine there is a shitty Christmas movie called Elfis. I can almost guarantee it.
We could make one.
Okay. Well,
I'll when the podcast is over, I'm going to tell you my idea for a awesome horror movie.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Have a good night, and we'll see you at Comic Shop.
Yes.